used it 4 times. I'm sure that's not overused technically, Elon.
Hello, and welcome to another Best of Podcast, Best of 5 episode. This show's going great.
It is.
Welcome to another episode of Best of 5 is what I meant to say. My name is Elon, and I'm joined here, as always, by my great cohorts, Steve, the main squeeze, the Ace King offsuit jerk.
How's it going?
And the lovely and wonderful Purple Sharpie.
Hey, I'm banned in only 7 countries now.
Only seven. I thought you would have hit double digits by now. I think you're slipping.
Yeah, me too. But luckily, Uzbekistan actually unbanned me after I agreed to the lawsuit. So 2021 starting strong.
Uzbekistan, you let her off too easy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Uzbekistan is in Uzbeka. Follow our Instagram.
Wow, that
I'm fading it to black. That's it. All right, we're back.
Y'all killing me on this edit. Do we have a slower fade to black?
Nope. I mean, maybe we do. I don't know.
That's just the only speed we have.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Anywho, so, like I said, welcome to another episode of the Best of 5 show. We are your weekly FGC and quote-unquote other things now podcast where you can find some of the hardest-hitting investigative journalism on Earth. Some people would tell you otherwise, but they're lying. Tonight on the show, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, including KOF's reveal, and then unreveal, and then re-reveal. We're going to talk about Capcom's new streaming and video content guidelines. Yeah, that was last week. I know it feels like it was like a month ago. We're going to talk about the death of the PogChamp, or the rebirth of the PogChamp, depending on who you talk to. We're also going to talk about some DBZ stuff. We're going to talk about some Twitch stuff. We're going to talk about Frosty Faustings and a bunch of other things. But before we get to all of that, did we lose Sharpie?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Wow, you're really good at sitting still. I thought you disconnected.
Anyway. I thought the Uzbekistan government got to her again.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I genuinely thought you got disconnected. All right. Without further ado, let's start the show. Steve, I do believe we have a teeny tiny bit of what we would like to call the patented recap.
Yes, we do. Let's start with the Street Fighter League back in action after a holiday hiatus. 2 matches on the docket, and they were bad results for Team UIU. They took a 3-0 loss to Team Dynamite, coupled with Psycho Shinobi's 3-1 win over All In. Those two results mean UIU at 0-7 is now the first team eliminated from playoff contention. So now you've got those 5 other teams fighting for those 4 playoff spots. All In, though, what's happened? 5-0 to start things, then losers of their next 3. They've got to turn it around if they want to hang on to a playoff spot. They'll have this week off because Alpha 3 and UIU face off in week 12, top of the table versus bottom. Classic case of nothing's got to give. And then a big match for the playoff seeding in the second battle. Nasser taking on Dynamite. And then I want to kick it over to the start of the KI World Cup. Cyber Fights, the first qualifier for the 2021 KI World Cup. And that was won by Alex V, a.k.a. not Alex V, who did it the hard way. He lost in the 3rd round of the tournament, top 64, and then had to fight all the way through losers from there. So 11 straight wins in the loser's bracket to get the win over It's Time to Duel in the grand finals. A couple of familiar names rounding out the top 4 in Nikki and Wheels. Bass making top 6 along with Skate Fast, Eat Lord Calypso, and Undead Gamer rounding out the top 8.
Of course, we can never forget Skate Fast Eat, the winner of KI United. So congratulations to him. I just wanted to say that name.
You know, don't shoot the messenger on this. I do not create these usernames. I just read them. So that ain't on me. If you want to thank me for my wit on that, that ain't me. If you want to blame me for saying that, that ain't on me. I'm not that dude. I'm just the guy who presents information.
I just love that. That's a name. What was the grand finals for KI United? It was Skate Fast Eat. Oh, and Roller Skate Nate or something like that. It was like the two.
I believe so. It sounds. That sounds right. It's not
a
even
lot of skates. Literally no.
That's
damn.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. You're gonna have to censor a lot this episode.
Well, since I'm censoring anyway, I might as well say this. It's not even the best related name that I've seen. There's a Tekken player out of Germany called I Eat Ass.
Nice.
And so like, he signed up for Berlin Tekken Championship, BTC. I forget. Berlin Tekken Clash, excuse me. And they had, like, the announcement tweet. You know, they make up a graphic for everyone who enters, every notable player. So you had, yes, I Eat Ass is coming to Berlin Tekken Clash. The best part is his sponsor was like SI something. So it was written out as C I Eat Ass.
Wow.
So all of that's getting cut from the audio archive. I'm sorry.
Why not?
Rest in peace, podcast listeners. You should have been listening to twitch.tv/bestofeshow.
You jerks. I'm kidding. You're not jerks.
We love you.
We love you all individually. And as a whole. And as anything else. Steve, anything else we need to talk about for the recap?
A couple of things to look forward to this coming week. You've got, as I mentioned, Street Fighter League back in action, week 12, winding down. That will take place on Thursday, or at least that will air on Thursday. Then a couple of ongoing leagues this weekend on Sunday. You've got the second wave of North American events for the Mortal Kombat Pro League on the Mortal Kombat channel. And then you want to check out GOAT FGC Saturday into Sunday. This is Australia and New Zealand. Their first event for the KI World Cup Series. So definitely some things to watch this week.
I do want to add one more thing in here that is not here. And that is that I believe it's this Wednesday for us, the Intercontinental Fight Club for Tekken 7 is going to be going up. And it's run by Chris Seg and the crew over at Tenno Media. And yeah, this is going to be their week too. I'm definitely going to be watching because I miss some good-ass Tekken.
Whoa. The first rule of International Fight Club Tekken is that we don't talk about International Fight Club Tekken.
No, we're not doing this. I mean, you've already dropped the OMC references during the countdown. You're dropping the Fight Club references. No, you only get so much. You can only pull on so much nostalgia in a particular episode.
If you're interested in participating, sorry for cutting that off. I didn't mean to do it. It's funny. I enjoyed it. But if you're interested in entering Intercontinental Fight Club Tekken, you can either go to the Tenno Media tweet, or you can just go to smash.gg/tournament/ICFC. /ICFC. I can't see the rest of the link. But yeah, you can register, and there is, and it's going to be for Asia, Europe, and North America. So we get to see some cool Tekken action this week, or yeah, tomorrow. I'm excited about that.
All my life I had to fight an International Fight Club.
Yes.
I'm just disappointed in everybody right now.
I don't know. I still have to watch Fight Club. I've never seen it. I know.
It's a good movie. It's a lot of satire.
All right. Let's start with some interesting things that happen. Not necessarily FGC related, but they are related to the world that we live in. A lot happened at Twitch this week.
Yeah.
A lot happened at Twitch this week. I'm going to start off on a happier note, and it's a cool note, if I do say so. As of Sunday, I believe it was Sunday. No, it was Monday. Yesterday. It was yesterday.
That's correct.
The record for the highest number of concurrent viewers by an independent streamer, which means it's just one person running their stream, was beaten by a lot. Before all of this, the record was in the middle of, I think, May of last year. It was Ninja playing with Drake, which was at, it topped out around 660,000 concurrent viewers. Then, this Spanish content creator who goes by Gref, it's spelled G-R-E-F-G, but when I was watching his stream, he pronounces it Gref, hit 700,000 concurrent viewers. And once again, Gref, in partnership with Epic Games, was releasing his own skin into Fortnite and had a reveal event on his stream and hit 2.4 million concurrent viewers, which is an unbelievably high number.
And we should also probably clarify that when you say Spanish, you do actually mean literally a Spaniard.
Yeah, from Spain, yeah.
Tree of Spain. He is not Hispanic. He actually is Spanish.
Spanish, yes. Here's the interesting thing. That's the highest number for an independent streamer that we've seen on Twitch. Because, of course, when there is a Sony reveal event, we see like 13 million and stuff. But that's because Sony's a big company and they do
bigger... They have brands. They're corporations, yeah.
Yes, they're all mindless and they tell us what to do and we do them. But this was just one guy who goes by Gref. And he hit this amazing milestone. And what's funny is this is not only the milestone here on Twitch, it's also bigger than the most concurrent viewers for anything on YouTube as far as independent streaming goes. Currently, the person who has the... Oh, I thought I put it on here. Dang it. The person who has the record on YouTube is also another Spanish content creator, and I completely forget his name, and I'm an idiot about it. I thought I wrote it down here, so I apologize. But their record was around like 600,000-700,000 concurrent viewers on YouTube. So something's going on over there in Spain with these content creators, and I like it.
I want to add something here, which is an important nuance that I should feel like provides a lot of context in general for these numbers. A lot of these companies, specifically Twitch and Google and, like, you know, the subset of YouTube as it is announced inside of Google, they tend to go off of American trends. But what we see a lot is there are a lot of other countries with a lot higher viewership. We saw this originally with the emergence of YouTube way back in, like, 2004, 2005. Almost, like, 72% of the platform was people from Southeast Asia, specifically from India and Pakistan, that were using the site to broadcast and to save different things for revolution purposes and for to bring light to certain things. The same thing happened with Hong Kong and China and Tibet and a lot of other locations like that. So the whole idea that in order for something to become popular, it has to be in America is really only something that's being pushed specifically by these large brands like Google and Amazon and Facebook, specifically because the money that they stand to make and the money that they don't have to necessarily always pay in taxes comes from the American brand. Whereas the reality is the large international market that exists is still a large population of their viewership. That's kind of what we're seeing here. In a lot of other countries, specifically in South America and Central America, viewership is very, very large on mobile devices, specifically because people can't typically afford high, what's the word I'm looking for? High-level machines and very expensive machines and everything like that, like computers or PlayStation 5s or even Xboxes. So they usually just rewatch the same YouTube video over and over and over and over again. And you even see it with the Twitch mobile app. A lot of mobile users are actually people, specifically in mobile games and everything like that, a lot of people are from Central and South America. There are a lot of people from the Middle East or even Southeast Asia. There are a lot of people from the Philippines. There are a lot of people from these islands where you can just go on a phone and watch on a phone app. And so that's what you're really seeing is a large resurgence. These are almost all mobile viewers. That's what I think more people should be paying attention to than just the numbers, because the numbers themselves imply that everybody was watching sitting in front of a television or sitting in front of a computer, when the reality is they're all watching from their phones. They're literally all watching from their phones for this stream and for this YouTube video or for something like that. That's really the market that we're seeing explode here. And content creators like that are very, very popular in countries where most people are exclusively on their phones, so they make content exclusively for people to digest while they're on their phones. That's the type of content that becomes really, really popular in these countries. But once again, congratulations to him, because he 100% managed to captivate both an entire platform, and it's about time, honestly, I personally believe, that the representer of a large landmark on one of these large American countries isn't actually from America, thereby giving us more worldly view in general of our environment.
I agree. Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, you know, you sort of touched on it. If it exists on the internet, it's probably American. That was sort of the default for a while. And now you very much hit on the point. That's changing. That is going away. And I mean, even if you don't look at the gaming sphere, look at, let me just say, BTS. Let me just say Despacito, Gangnam Style. It's where the rest of the world is, you know, they're creating stuff that a whole lot of people are getting eyes on. So, yeah, you don't have to do it in English in order to be good.
One of the reasons why Shakira actually, literally blew up was because she was one of the very first musicians to actually be on YouTube and Instagram. And that market is huge. There are a lot of African music artists who are very, very big on Instagram. They're very, very big on Twitter, and the only reason we don't hear about them is because English is not their main focus as far as language. It actually hinders their audience. They are able to get to a much wider, broader audience and accomplish a lot more sales when they don't do things in English. They may speak a little bit of English occasionally, just for like a couple of fans, because a lot of people in other countries understand a little bit of English, but it's more of like just a homage to the fact that like English is such a widespread language. In general, it's more of like just a touch base on, yeah, I do know this, but a lot of non-English speakers are very, very big on the platforms, and the only reason you don't see them is because they do not speak English. YouTube does not share that with English-speaking countries. They don't share that view to us. They get a lot more views.
There's one more anecdote that I want to share, too, about how this is not necessarily new, is 2016, final round. I was there for the first ever Street Fighter V tournament. And in my pool was Dako, Kamba Shoyu Dako. And he was walking around with a phone in front of his face, and it looked like he was just recording it. But later I found out he was just live streaming it. I had to sit down to play this man, and he put his phone down, and I saw the viewer number, and there was a lot of numbers there. It like actually made me a little nervous, I'm not going to lie. It was like tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of him just walking around the venue. Right. And, you know, it's funny because I had never seen anything like that, mostly because I also live under a rock, so I don't see a lot of things. But my experience with fighting games and not going to tournaments was just usually through the Team Spooky stream or whatever stream was running stuff, not through a player cam. And that was the first time that I thought was like, whoa, that's a lot more viewers than they're probably getting up there. That's crazy. And then I showed him how to change his buttons because he couldn't read in English. So it was a good time. But anyway, I just wanted to share that because that was one of those things that opened my eyes. It was like, wow, there's a lot of people watching him stream this. A lot more than I thought.
I think the sooner that we, as both a country and as a society, understand that this whole idea of like the American dream, the whole idea of like English being first, the whole idea of like a Caucasian-looking or European descent individual being like the default, the quicker we get rid of these ideas, the faster we'll be moving towards change, because a lot of these other countries have understood that that's not really the way things are. And we here inside the United States of America are still fighting that idea in general. And I think the faster that we start to understand that we're not the default, I think the faster we'll start seeing a lot more growth in general.
I feel attacked. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But you're absolutely right. And, you know, that's not to say that every other country doesn't have their own struggles with...
100% they still do. They still struggle with a lot of things. It's just something that I feel like is especially potent and important to stress right now.
Absolutely.
In these trying times.
I agree 100%. And that's a very good point. Anything else we want to talk about Twitch numbers and this record being broken?
Well, you know, I think there was another record broken as far as the turnaround for how quickly someone could be very possibly removed as an emote and replaced. Is that a record that anyone's interested in, Elon?
I don't know if anyone's interested in breaking it, but we could definitely talk about that. Do you want me to set this one up?
Yeah, you set this up, please.
Okay, so real life happened on Wednesday. For those of you who are not American or who have not been following the news,
electoral vote certification. Yeah,
the certification, yes. So basically the last step in officially declaring who our next president is going to be, Joe Biden, was confirmed as the next president during this. But in the midst of the certification process, several pro-Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol building. It was a horrible scene. Obviously, you've seen so many of the pictures. There's a lot I want to say that I'm not going to say because I want to keep this focused on fighting games.
I'll say it. Alt-right supremacists literally flooded the Congress in an effort to go ahead and make sure that Donald Trump was reelected, even though in no way, shape, or form had been voted. And they literally came there with the intention of harming members of Congress and harming individuals, and as well as parts of the media, locals to D.C., and the police. They came there with every intention of attacking these individuals, and they were directly incited by our current sitting president, Donald J. Trump. I will say it if you don't want to, Steve, and that's fine because I'm comfortable saying it because to me, that is a fact. That is what happened, and I don't care who says it. I believe that everyone there were alt-right supremacists. I believe that they were terrorists, and I believe that they I believe that they deserve that title.
Yep, and that's called insurrection. There's a thing on the Constitution exactly about it. So, and they did it.
Anyway, I apologize for interrupting.
No, it's all oh, yeah. Good. It's all good.
That's the real life stuff. Well, everything is real life stuff.
It is.
Anyway.
But during the storming of the Capitol building, we know that several people have died. One protester was died and referred to as a martyr. And then Gutex, the face of the PogChamp meme, PogChamp emote, tweeted out asking if this MAGA martyr would die in vain, end quote. And that disappointed a whole lot of people, including those at Twitch. And Twitch went ahead and removed his face from his emote from the site, which is one of the most popular emotes on Twitch. So they actually released a statement when they did that. And they said, quote, "We made the decision to remove the PogChamp emote following statements from the face of the emote encouraging further violence after what took place in the Capitol today. We want the sentiment and use of Pog to live on. Its meaning is much bigger than the person depicted or the image itself, and it has a big place in Twitch culture. However, we can't, in good conscience, continue to enable use of the image. We will work with the community to design a new emote for the most hype moments on Twitch," end quote.
Well, that's the bad news. Well, I mean, no, this is good news, right?
Cause there's more news regarding it, and I wouldn't necessarily call it good.
Okay, do you want to tee it up?
Should I elaborate on that?
Tee it up.
Oh, okay. After this statement came out from Twitch, they also stated that they would be replacing the emote with a different content creator, right? After which they were absolutely flooded with a various number of different content creators, influencers, personalities, streamers, all saying, use me as PogChamp, use me as PogChamp. I inherently did not have any specific issue with this because I personally believe in trying times like this, especially when there's a lot of unequal and unjust moments. I think friendly, positive moments of, you know, content creators having opportunity to showcase themselves is always relished as a side to seeing more violence on my timeline in general. An African-American homosexual member of the tabletop RPG community was actually chosen to be the new face of PogChamp. And if you actually type down PogChamp right now, you'll actually see his face. Unfortunately, because he is African-American, because he is homosexual, he has been unfortunately consistently attacked and barroted on the exact same platform that he was chosen to be the emote of. Racial terms have been used to describe him on all social media platforms, not just Twitch, but unfortunately it still kind of resulted in him publicly speaking out, saying a couple of things about how unfortunate it is that Twitch, you know, doesn't have tools in place to stop the harassment from him, how unfortunate it is that a lot of these social media tools aren't available for people that are being harassed consistently like that exclusively because of how they look, because of their sexual preferences, and much, much more. Luckily, a lot of people did speak up. A lot of people have been rallying to show him that he is appreciated, but of course, messages like that, and in no way, shape, or form, you know, alleviate the pain that you can feel when a lot of hate is being thrown your way. So, like I said earlier, congratulations, obviously, to him for being chosen for the emote. I believe they're only showcasing him for this first week. There were a couple of ideas that were thrown at Twitch, and I don't know if they're... It seems like right now they're doing the thing where they're going to be rotating through emotes.
Yes. Let me clarify this, because I read the thing. Sorry, Steve. The way it's working is somebody threw out the idea of every time you use the PogChamp that it would be a different face, which I think is a great idea. Twitch wasn't able to accommodate that, but they decided to go along with that vein of idea. So the PogChamp face is changing every 24 hours. So for the first 24 hours, we had this gentleman who unfortunately got harassed, and it's kind of showing the very ugly side of Twitch, and it's awful. Today, it's what... is
Deer.
Deer, thank you. Deer, who I believe... So, go ahead, Steve. You know what you're going to say.
So it was Reversal on day one. Mm-hmm. And then Critical Bard, who you were talking about, on day two. And today it is Deer. So it's going to, as he said, rotate every 24 hours.
Yeah, and the backlash has been... awful. It's and it kind of highlights all the problems of Twitch in one big way.
I think it inherently comes down to one simple truth, which I will say, and I may upset some people if I say this, but the reality is kind of highlighted as to what I said before, which is that inherently certain people do not like change. The person who the PogChamp emote was based off of was Gutex. Gutex is an Asian-American male, right? He is not Caucasian. He is not of European descent. He is an Asian-American male. Most of the people upset about it are people that didn't even identify him as Asian-American. They saw him as Caucasian or white. And a lot of people are upset when things are changed because they don't like the fact that things are changing out of their control. And so they lash out at other people who are also different from them. And that's kind of what we've been seeing all of this past week. It's unfortunate that we have been seeing it, but it does bring up once again the larger conversation of the fact that these conversations need to happen. People need to leave their squares and people need to see that there is more inside of the world than just us. Here inside of our simple, small little bubble of the United States of America, there's a whole other world out here. There's a whole other universe that we can explore after we leave just this idea of exclusive self. And a lot of people don't want to leave that. A lot of people are very comfortable there. They're very comfortable being exclusive. It's unfortunate. It's just the way it is. A lot of people say it's a very vocal minority, but the reality is every single time a person allows the vocal minority to be vocal, excessively at the cost of someone else's emotion or mental anguish, that hurts, and that makes the majority seem that much smaller. So I challenge everyone that believes that they are against that type of action or that type of harassment to speak up when they see it happening, even if it's not necessarily happening to them.
Yeah, and I did want to, I wanted to say this earlier, but I'm very happy that I got the time to fact check myself, because if I was wrong, I was going to sound like a complete asshole. But the person who is the face of PogChamp today is Deer, and she does drag, right? It's mm-hmm. And she's showcasing the drag community on Twitch. You can go to streamqueens.net to go see her stuff, and it's a troop of kings, queens, characters, and creatures who showcase their art live on Twitch. So
she's fantastic. Yeah. I love her so much.
Yeah, I've never seen her stuff before, but I have followed her, so I'm looking forward to seeing her stuff in the near future. But that's the good part of it. But again, much like with yesterday's face, I've seen on social media that she's getting a little bit of a backlash. It's one of those things where we knew that this was an issue. We knew that the gaming community and the Twitch community is like, it feels like majority, but I'm sure it's not. It feels like the majority of it, but I think it's just a vocal group of people who are racist, sexist, and right? And it's because they have the anonymity online, and it's awful that this is an occurrence. However, the good part of this is now that this is all out in the open, I think Twitch has a very good opportunity to address it and hopefully fix the situation.
See, I would agree with you if not for the fact that I've been on this platform now for 11 years, and I can honestly say I haven't seen Twitch in any way, shape, or form address it in any way that would actually assist in change. They haven't. I don't have a lot of hopes for them, because the reality is it's not just a Twitch problem. It's a systemic issue in our society, and a lot of these social media companies are able to ignore it, and the only reason they really, to be very honest, couldn't ignore it on Wednesday was because lives were lost, you know? It's one of those things. It's one of those things where no one really does anything, unfortunately, until loss of life happens. It's very unfortunate. It's just, I want to say an unfortunate reality of not looking like the default. That's just what happens. It's really terrible that I have to say that, but that's my personal opinion and something that I've had to deal with now for 29 years.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it's funny that they ban things like incel and virgin, but they don't ban other words that I shall not speak.
It's easier. I genuinely feel like it's easier to ban things that happens to a certain subsection of people on Twitch and not the actual people that need that assistance. Right. And it's very unfortunate. I'd like to see change. I really would. But I am very hesitant to be super optimistic regarding it. In any case, I'm sure we have so much more news to cover. Not regarding Twitch. Does anyone have any final thoughts on that, Steve or Elon?
Just one bit of housekeeping. I actually missed one. The first face was Umi no Kaiju. So she was first, then Reversal, then Critical Barton, now Deer. So.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Apologies for that error.
No, it's okay. I look forward to seeing
more new
faces.
Thank you so much for the clarification.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing more new faces and finding more new people. So hopefully the shitty and ugly side of this is going to subside earlier rather than later. But, you know, I'm not too optimistic either. But one can hope, maybe.
It's nice to see that this is resulting in a lot of the younger generation realizing that this is still a problem that they have to fight systemically. And that is always a positive side of all of this, is that there are people that are like, I need to be more vocal about the fact that this is not okay. I need to make sure that I'm working to be a better person, because the people that I thought were better people are not that. And I need to make more of an effort. That's always something that fantastic that comes from all of this. But it is unfortunate, of course, that we have to have such a terrible backlash in order for change like this to occur. So Elon, what's our next topic for the day?
All right, on to greener pastures. But I think it's also important that we never forget that this is an ongoing issue, and to always have it in the back of our minds, and to always try to do better. With all that said, let's move on. let's talk about some fun, happy stuff before we dive into other weird things. KOF was going to reveal stuff last week. And then we got the heartbreaking news on Wednesday morning before we got even more heartbreaking news that.
Yeah,
remember
when that was the worst thing that happened?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing that Facebook thing and then it being like 2 o'clock and then me being rushing into DC to be like, let me go get my family member out of DC. Being stopped 3 times, by the way, because I was suspicious. Did I tell y'all that? I was stopped 3 times going in and out of DC because I was suspicious. Y'all believe that? Some BS, right?
Someone told me you were a grappler. That's the only thing I could think of.
All right. So before everything went down, we got some sad news about KOF that they were going to have to push back the reveal. And, you know, we were all disappointed. But then Thursday, KOF was like, here it is. Surprise. So
we got I don't understand. I don't know.
Part of me thinks that they cut out a lot of what they were going to originally show, and they showed a subset of what they're going to show later, because they did announce that they're going to announce other things later on down the line. However, speaking of which, I think they announced that they were going to announce stuff this week, but they didn't do it before our show because they're jerks. So let's go look at the trailer that they already have. This is the reveal of what the game will look like. Let's take a gander. I'm gonna go ahead and mute it just because of the music. We live on Twitch 2021 where we have to be worried about music things, even though we're in other things.
We are not doing. Wow. We are going all the way back. All the way back.
All right.
Andy Griffin.
I was about to call him Andy Rooney.
Wayne Rooney's a person. anyway, so that's what King of Fighters 15 is going to look like as of right now. Of course, they do have the disclaimer that this is an ongoing development, so things may change, things may not. But I'm gonna say I kind of don't mind this new art style. It looks a little bit like Sam Show. I think they're probably using the same engine, the same shading, all this other stuff. But it looks cool. Looks good. I like the designs of the new characters. Things look neat. What do you guys think?
I like it.
It looks good, and that's a relief. You know, you can say what you want about the art style. It looks well done for what it's trying to do, which is not what we could say for the first look at KOF 14. And, yeah, it was because the team didn't have the experience working with 3D, and it showed. But it's, like I said last week, it's you only get one chance to make a first impression. So my second biggest takeaway is that the game looks good, and I think people will be really excited for this. My biggest takeaway is I hope the newsman is a playable character. I hope that is Scoop Newsman.
Scoop Newsman.
Finally coming out of the shadows to take the credit.
Scoop Newsman. Newsman at law.
So deserves.
But I did want to see... here's the big sign. Oh, dang it. I missed it. Anyway, this is the big thing I wanted to showcase, too, is they had this. And then tune in next week for more info. Well, where's the new info? They're doing it probably right after our show. If not, they're doing it right now. Those jerks. This game looks great. Of course, I do agree with Steve that if we're able to get this character right here, that's going to be the next playable character, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, you look good. I like him. Also, he could be like a Phoenix Wright type character.
Anybody ever heard of AMBC? Because I sure haven't.
A lot of lore in the screenshot.
Yeah, they're an international network. So watch out for AMBC. You know? Anywho, y'all excited for King of Fighters 15? I am.
Personally, me as a game, no. It's not my game genre at all. Not my game of choice at all. It's technically a team fighter without being a team fighter, and it's kind of weird to me. I don't play that game. Sorry, Steve?
They did talk about the changing how the team aspect works this time. They haven't revealed anything, and I'm wondering if that's what they're going to show off next week.
It'd be cool. I would be interested if it turned into an actual team fighter in the vein of Marvel, Skullgirls, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Those are my type of games. Mm-hmm. But I also don't have a lot of, you know, like, I'm not expecting it because King of Fighters is such a long franchise of being that type of game. With the exception, I think, being, like, what was it, SNK Tag Tournament 2 or something like that, where it was, like, actually tag team based or something like that. It was a while back. It was a while back. I used to watch it all the time on Salty Bet, and they had actual people from that game you could actually tag out into that character. But I'm not I'm not a big King of Fighters fan. I like the aesthetic. I like watching the gameplay. I'm not a big player for it.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe it was 2001. I'm seeing in chat that it was 2001 or 2011. That sounds about correct to me. 2003 and 2011. 2003 sounds about right to me, because I was watching a lot of Salty Bet growing up, and they used a lot of Salty Bet, like, graphics from that, and I remember seeing a lot of Terry Bogard, a lot of stuff like that, and then I did watch... Steve is just like, you know what, I've had enough of your references today, Sharpie.
No, no, you. It's just because you said you watched Salty Bet growing up, and I just felt...
Yeah, that hurt a little bit, too, I'm not gonna lie. I was trying to hide it, though.
I was in high school when Salty Bet, like, came out.
Oh,
I just started high school.
Oh, God.
I had just started high school, actually. God. Like,
ouch.
Where's my AARP card?
Oh. Yeah. Walker. But anyway.
I didn't know who Justin Wong was. Like, I was
the
very
early bird
confused.
Special. God. Oh, my God. All right.
Hey,
That was not the only KOF announcement made this week, because shortly after the delay was announced on Wednesday, SNK revealed King of Fighters 14 Ultimate, the Ultimate Edition, which includes all of the DLC, so 58 characters in total. The release date is now in Europe. It is available now in Europe. It's going to be another couple weeks. It came out on the 7th in Europe digitally. There will be a physical version coming out this spring in Europe, and it appears in Europe only for now. North America, next Wednesday, the 20th, it will be available for digital purchase.
Nice. PS4. It's funny because I saw they were showing a bunch of, like, I think cutscenes from the game, and I haven't played KOF 14 much. Like, I've played it on and off. You know, I learned a couple characters here, had a little bit of fun with it. I've never seen, like, the actual cutscenes that they were showing, and I was like, "Whoa, what game is this?" And then later it was like, "Oh, it's KOF 14 again." It's like, "Wow, the cutscene stuff looked really cool. Maybe I'll need to go back and play a little bit of the story mode or something." You know. They also announced a couple of other things as well on top of that, and it was in the vein of, say it with me, Sam Show.
Sam Show.
Sam Show.
That was the delay. we all said that at the same time.
Did we, though?
Yes.
Did we?
Absolutely. It's just the internet delay that made it sound like it wasn't together, so... You know, but anyway, they also announced some Sam Show stuff, and here it is. All right, I can turn the music on, hopefully. We can hope. Okay, this sounds like Sam Show music. Maybe we're all right.
Fingers crossed.
So, whoa, look at all this Sam Show happening.
That's a lot of Sam Show.
They're showing Sam Show.
Arrows. Daggers.
Dilse characters.
More
DLC. Season Pass 3. Sorry, I'm reading this stuff before you are, Steve. Oh, there she is.
Oh, bless.
She cut him with a boomerang. There's Cham Cham. She's back.
Cham Cham. Aww.
And okay, the last Blade That's 2 character good. That everybody was looking forward to. Who is it? Who is it? Oh, it's Hibiki. I don't think I've seen Last Blade stuff at all, so I had to wait for the name. There he goes, and the crowd goes wild. New season pass. Only four characters this time around. Did they have? Do they usually have four characters, or do they have more?
I'm not certain. I wonder if they'll be next.
I thought season two was four.
Okay. Then I think I'm just misremembering things. But anyway, Hoozle, I like how it said stay tuned, and I thought it was they were going to show it then and there, but I think that's just like a translation thing.
I love how they say it's going to be out for Stadia, like people are playing fighting games on Stadia.
Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Who knows? Also, as a reminder, this is also only available on the Epic Game Store if you play it on PC. But yeah. This, I always forget about Sam Show, and then whenever I see a trailer about it, I was like, oh, I'm going to go dust it off. And then I play a couple matches, and I'm like, wow, this is fun. The online sucks. And then I move on.
Yep, that sounds about right. That's also why I don't play Sam Show. You know, honestly, I had a lot of fun playing that game originally at Locals. Then I played that game online, and I was like, I no longer enjoy playing this game. I can't. Nope. I'm really happy to see the community still out here, making it possible for more seasons, though. Always support communities that, like, support their game regardless. Just me personally, Netcode is a big factor in whether or not I'm going to play a game, so.
Yeah. No, the game still looks super cool. I'm a fan of it. And, you know, I mentioned this last week. Some of the crew here from San Antonio, Texas run, like, weeklies online and stuff. And they're trying their best to keep playing the game. So, shout-outs to them and what they're doing. I should have gotten names and things to actually promote, but, you know. I could do the cop-out. You know who you are.
You know who you are. You definitely listen to this podcast. And if you don't, you can't say anything because I tried, right?
But yeah, so more announcements. They're probably going to release other things alongside the KOF reveal that's this week, maybe. Might as well just say next week because we won't be able to talk about it. Those jerks. but yeah. So there you go. That's all the SNK announcements for this past week. A little bit of a roller coaster ride because they took it away, then they gave it back. And in that trailer as well, they talked a lot about the game. They did, you know, the thing where they put the two devs in the screen and then they chit-chat about things that are coming and things that they're looking forward to and all this other stuff. So big ups to them for being transparent on the things that they're doing. So.
Hey, SNK, that was A-OK. Bust the wolf.
I just gotta say that I am impressed that in a game about samurai weaponry, they managed to fit a cat girl in. I'm just always impressed by that.
Hey, Nico culture is very important to samurais, bro.
I've learned this. Oh my goodness.
All right.
Other things happened as well.
Yes. Let's talk about.
Can we talk about, Steve? I was going to talk about Granblue for a second since we're on the topic of reveals.
Go for it.
Earlier this week, the director of Granblue came out with a letter and they talked about several things within the Granblue world because there's so many different games and aspects to it. One of those things they mentioned was Granblue Fantasy Versus. They did confirm that Andre will be revealed at the end of this month. It was the ninth DLC character. The trailer will be out on the 22nd of this month, so next Friday. Beyond that, there's going to be a balance patch coming out alongside the release. A new battle pass coming out in February, which has more levels for RPG mode, new skins, new sound effects. And then the fifth character of Season 2 will be announced during the 7th anniversary Granblue stream, which will take place in March. So we have a couple of months of news to look forward to for Granblue.
Noise! Any further thoughts on Granblue before I move on to the next reveal? Well, not necessarily reveal. Granblue is always great. Thanks, Granblue. looking forward to more new stuff. Next, Super Baby. That's such a bizarre name. Dragon Ball Z character is coming out. Have they been doing those showcases? Because they had a big showcase where they had Apology Man. They had...
I didn't get a chance to check it out, but they did have one this weekend. There's actually a clip in the Discord, which I'll throw in chat real quick.
I watched the showcase, but I don't have anything nice to say, so I prefer not commenting on it.
Okay. They did have... Who were the three people? It was Apology Man. I think it was Damascus?
It was. And then... And Tyrant.
Tyrant, thank you. So mm-hmm. those three were showing a couple things. I think Apology Man had a little bit of time to play the character around. Character looks like a vortex monster because, you know, he throws fireballs and the fireballs come back and then you can do the side switch thing that every other game that's anime has, you know. But yeah, so I think that was cool. I don't think I've seen that kind of showcase before from them. And if I have, then I... Or,
oh my God.
They do showcases like that with every new character since
okay.
season
Okay, I live
two.
Under a rock then.
Yeah, that's no worries.
Yeah, just call me Patrick. SpongeBob reference. Nice.
Are you able to play the clip that's in the Twitter link I put in chat?
Hold on. I gotta pull up the chat first. Steve making me do work. I don't see. Can you put it in the VMix chat? I'll be able to pull it up from there.
Yeah, I can do that.
That's not Super Baby. That's my baby. You guys get it? Chat gets it. He's little baby. It's okay. It's a rap reference.
I every time I hear that name, I can't help but think of the stupid movie, The Super Babies.
Super Babies?
Yeah. It was one of the worst movies of all time. That, you know, back when I worked in a movie theater for a while, that was out, and we had maybe like four people coming in for that the entire run.
Nice. Is it like Boss Babies?
Was that the one about the babies that were actually super smart and everything like
yes.
that? And it went like
baby geniuses. Baby
yeah, I watched a... that movie like 17 times as a
Why?
Kid.
Why?
Because we had it on VHS, and it was the only movie we had on VHS, and it didn't. They had removed the thing, so we couldn't tape over it. It was a terrible movie.
Remember in Flowers
the fact that you, the fact that you watched this 17 times explains so much.
Okay, first of all, those actors are very talented babies, and I bet you they went on to lead amazing lives as extras, completely unfulfilled by their parents making ridiculous, copious amounts of money on them before they were five. And second of all, that writing was inexcusably bad. The writing was very bad, but I'm sure it paid a lot of people's checks, so.
Remember in Flowers for Algernon, where the dude was like, after he gets smart, he's like, oh, you're not gene asses, you're a bunch of asses, and then he walks out. It's great. Anyway, let's go back to Dragon Ball Z after that bizarre what do you call it thing. Segue non sequitur. Anyway, this is the clip. I'm clicking play on it. I think Steve, what are we watching?
You'll see it.
Was that it?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
So what he has is autocorrect blocking, which allows him to literally immediately block IAD mix-ups from UI Goku when he's in block stun. It's a mechanic change, and I believe they're showcasing that it's inside the game now, which is a big deal.
Wait,
because that string used to open up people super easy. What they're basically showcasing is the way he's able to block pressure now.
Is he
literally
blocking things that are jumping by crouching?
He is. No.
Yeah, the character didn't come back from crouch. Come up from crouch.
That was buffer. That was buffer. That was buffer because the move was so long. Dragon Ball has weird mechanics. Just trust me on this one.
He's doing air attacks and stuff. Oh well. Okay, so I guess is that a mechanic change that's going for everybody, or is that just a super baby mechanic?
It's just I don't know yet. I honestly don't know. So
I'm throwing one more into the chat.
Jesus Christ, you're making me work here.
Yeah, how dare
it's,
I?
It is. It is really interesting to see that Bandai has all of this time and money to come out with a bunch of characters that people can buy for money without updating the netcode. And that's all I'll say about that. And I won't say anything else. And I'll be good. That's all that's interesting to me.
If you keep talking, you're going to talk about Baby Geniuses 2 again. And we can't have that. We cannot have that. I'm sorry. That's just no. No.
Remember how they had the little baby in HQ?
No.
Giving all the other babies commands? They had a whole underground society?
Okay. I think.
And the whole thing was after they turned one, they forgot everything?
Let's watch this. All right, I forgot the volume. Okay, so what are we looking at here, Steve?
This is, they had a little combo contest. Apology Mountain won it with this one during the showcase.
Is it a Todd?
It's still going.
Is it a Todd?
Of course, he's a Marvel player.
It is a Todd. Nice.
He's a Marvel player. He wouldn't showcase a non-Touch of Death.
All right. Oh, it says coming soon. I'm sorry. I turned it off. And then it shows the people. All right. That's enough of that music. Please stop. Why is my computer not responding?
Bandai Namco.
It doesn't want to stop.
Peggy 12.
Oh, right. No. It's a web browser. All right. There we go. Got it. Anywho. Well, there you go. You get crazy, wacky mix-ups coming to Dragon Ball soon. Dragon Ball FighterZ soon.
Be excited. Be hype.
All right. Next. Let's talk about some...
On Dragon Ball FighterZ.
God, no.
Steve, I couldn't let that one go.
It cost you $0 to let that one go.
Am I going to have to hit this Fade to Black button again? It's like the fourth time.
No, please, I'm sorry. I'll be good.
We'll be good.
I'm kidding. Trying to keep this under control. I don't know why I just said it with a weird Italian accent. Anywho, moving on. Let's talk about something that's a little bit on the more bizarre side that came out this week. And Capcom announced today. No, not today. Last week. That they are putting their foot down. They're putting some ground rules for everybody that wants to make streaming and video contents. So they released a bunch of video guidelines. And I have it open here. We can talk about it. There are a couple of things that are interesting that they are wanting people to do. And essentially, I think the biggest takeaway from this is what's on their no commercialization rule, which says it's the permissible monetization rule. It says you may monetize through partner programs and or advertising from YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or other video sharing devices. Collecting voluntary contribution, such as through Super Chat on YouTube and bits on Twitch, is permitted as long as your video is also available for free to the public on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, or other video sharing devices. So what does this mean? No more subscriber-only VODs for Capcom things. Right, and also something important to know that this is their video policy. So they're talking about no more subscriber-only content. It sounds to me like they're saying no more Patreon content, so any content creator that's going through Patreon creating things, right, because this is one of those things where you have to pay a subscription to Patreon to receive this content.
Now, would that – I don't know if that's necessarily what – I'm getting for my guess would be it would be okay as long as it's eventually released to for
my secondary thing is and I know we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier in a roundabout way, but Cross Counter TV is actually only accessible on their website through a paid subscription, and it sounds like content like that would no longer be allowed.
So full disclosure, I did work for Cross Counter for a while. The way they do their things is they have, like, for example, Excellent Adventures and other shows like it, they have the content come up on a weekly basis, right? They have 4 episodes per shoot. And if you're subscribed to Cross Counter, you can see the whole shoot at once.
Ah, okay.
So I believe that's okay, right? Because the content is technically available for free. The thing that I think is... not going to be okay is the content that they only specifically have on the site. For example, they had a bunch of training stuff, like people giving lessons and all this other stuff that were on the cross-counter training site. I think, unless I think given express permission from Capcom, that I think those are not going to be cool anymore, right? The other thing I'm interested to see is, what does this mean for events, right? This does say this is their video policy, but what if you have something like, you know, let's go back to cross-counter, they had the bar fights, right? You had to pay... what do you call it?
Entry fee?
You had to pay money to get in. I forget what it's called. When you go
registration.
When you go to a bar and cover charge.
Cover.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You had to pay a cover charge to get in, and then you could enjoy the event. And they had everything from melee things to Street Fighter V. They had the big East versus West Street Fighter V thing on the last EVO I went to, which I think was 2017. So I'm interested to see like what that's going to be like. Granted, their video was available for everybody to watch on a stream. That didn't work.
I think that would be fine under these guidelines. That's my guess. Granted, I am not a lawyer. I am not a legal expert. But in my initial reading, something like that I think would be fine. No, you go ahead.
Because I've seen quite a few other companies do this, and I remember seeing something about there being a policy change or something in 2021 about a couple of companies coming down on certain types of content coming out, and that's just because they want to start controlling their IP a little bit more. I believe one of the specific things that they mention inside of here is that it's really if it goes against the tone of their IP that they would be enforcing this. And I think that's setting up the stage for people, because there's a lot of rancid content out there, right? I know people think the fighting game community is like the most violent of all esports and everything like that, but there are some pretty terrible rings of the internet. There are heavy gore, heavy sex, heavy violence, and everything like that. And I think these ground rules are more so that people don't start infringing on things like that. Because there is a lot of content creators who will, like, I know we're being especially good right now. We're trying not to use expletives. We're trying to, you know, make sure that we can stay in a realm of professionalism in general. A lot of content creators don't always do that, right? And a reference I would love to give here would be Low Tier God, right? Uh-huh. His content is very offensive, right? His content is very slanderous and hurts quite a few people's emotional and mental beings, right? Under these guidelines, Capcom would have the ability to take down any content that he's created on Street Fighter V, basically. They could also do that specifically with replay channels, which are channels that exclusively go through the Capcom Pro Tour and just grab a bunch of clips and then post them on their own channel as clip videos. They can do that now with these guidelines, and they're saying, by the way, we have the right to do this. But it basically gives content creators an idea of what to do if they would not like those laws enforced against them. It's still very broad because it needs to cover a lot of things, but it keeps Capcom's options open while also kind of trying to be transparent, because they don't just want to start blocking people. And that's what I feel like they're doing, and what a lot of other companies are starting to do right now, just in general. We're seeing a lot of changes this 2021, and I think it all stems from the fact that there are a lot of IPs right now, and there was a lot of pushback from Nintendo and other companies after they got rid of Big House, and I think we're seeing a lot of other companies take notice and be like, look, if we have to enforce it, here are the guidelines so you know how we are going to enforce it. I think that's what we're seeing here.
I do want to point out a couple of things in response to your point, Sharpie. It's first, these are video guidelines, right? So we don't know what, if they're having event guidelines or anything, if that's coming out, who knows what's going to happen. Second, to your point about the tone of the videos and everything, this is actually what I was going to bring up now, is they have impermissible uses as a very big section. And it goes through talking about pre-release content, like in streaming that stuff early before it's out. And it goes very in detail about that. And I think that could be in direct response to the ransomware attack that they went through. So I think that's a very, like, they're making it very clear that if you post that is not out, you're gonna get dinged by Capcom, or worse. The other thing too is it goes into inappropriate content, right? So it's using, it's listed as, this is word by word what they have on the site. It's using Capcom titles to create video and other content. So YouTube videos or other content, including mods. Now, this is very important, including mods, because there is a very big modding community that does a lot of nude mods of the game. So this is definitely going right into their wheelhouse.
That's terrible. That's horrible.
But anyway,
are the foot modders okay? Are the foot modders and armpit modders okay?
Who knows? But anyway, I want to read this word for word because they do go into this very in depth, and they're very clear about it. Is video or other content, including mods, that is illegal, racist, sexist, prejudicial to sexual orientation. Oh dear God, sexually explicit, disparaging, promotes hate crimes, or is otherwise offensive, is not tolerated. On a case-by-case basis, Capcom reserves the right to take down content that is found to be inappropriate or objectionable at our discretion. So, much like you were saying, look to your gotcha, that no longer flies, according to Capcom, right? Although they do say that it's on a case-by-case basis, so who knows what they're going to do with that. So it's one of those things where they're putting down the ground rules, right? And this is something that we've talked about in different contexts. They're putting down the ground rule. How are they going to enforce it? Right? Like, are we going to see the elimination of all nude mods or all of these other things that break this impermissible use guideline? Are they just going to take it all down? How do they see it? All this other stuff, we don't know. And they do say it's on a case-by-case basis, so maybe some people are going to get a pass and it's going to get very hairy. That clause in there is, I think, necessary, but still very uncomfortable, right?
I think that clause is mostly just to make sure that event streamers know that they'll probably be safe. You know, it's mostly there to let people know, hey, if you're not specifically trying to like break our guidelines, or you're not specifically trying to really monetize a large, you know, site or something with inappropriate things, then you're fine. I feel like that line is mostly there just because they need to cover their own booty.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike nude modders want.
Right. Oh,
nothing, boy. Steve, really?
I laughed at it.
I've used up my quota on questionable follow up, so I'm done.
I'm done trying today, y'all. We had a really rough week. I'm like giving y'all prima donna Sharpie right now.
There is one also another thing that I want to, sorry to gloss over what you just said, Sharpie, but there's just a lot
fine.
In here
it's
that
okay.
I want to get through. Another thing that they did go into, which I think is interesting, also both for the fighting game side of Capcom and also the not fighting game side of Capcom, is video capture of Capcom publication.
Mm.
Right. And that's any posting of video capture or video posting of video capture of printed or digital books and other printed or digital materials published by Capcom or its licensees, such as but not limited to comic books, game strategy guides, collector's edition, art books, and they put it in parentheses, Capcom publications, is prohibited. However, you may use Capcom publication in unboxing videos, provided that no specific content inside Capcom publication is displayed in the videos.
So that's basically like if just prevent guidebooks from being scanned online.
Yeah, guidebooks sort of or like the thing that comes to mind is when the 30th edition came out, the 30th edition collector's edition, they had that giant book of all the art inside. They also had it in the game. So I'm curious to see if you can go into the game and look at the timeline and publish that. I don't know.
I think it's really just to stop people from like going to some CD website and grabbing that instead of paying Capcom. It just sounds like, you know, very boilerplate, stop stealing our stuff.
Yeah.
Especially, they also mentioned that you can't upload music soundtrack separately from game. So a lot of YouTube channels upload game music from certain stages, certain games.
Well, if they made it available on Spotify,
always,
nobody would do it. Nobody would do it, Capcom, if y'all had it on Spotify, but you don't, do you?
I'm still waiting for President of the World. I've still got my 99 cents ready to drop right now.
President
of the World.
Of the World. And then that's the DMCA takedown. Also, there was one more thing that I wanted to go over that is in this that I think is very important because... Let me just get into it, and then I'll go into what I'm thinking about it. So this is going back to monetization of Capcom products, right? They outline all this other stuff, and they specifically say non-commercial use of Capcom IP and Capcom things. And it goes into saying they don't allow content or other materials to be used to make money or gain other financial benefit through permissible monetization. So they say you are not allowed to make money off of Capcom things, except for these things. And that's what they posted on videos from YouTube, Twitch, blah, 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 all this other stuff. However, they go into saying you may not limit paid access, sell or license your content that includes our game content to others for payment of any kind. In particular, we do not allow you to create new content using our game if a paid subscription is required for people to access our specific content. So this is one of those things where my immediate reaction is, oh, shit, what about artist alleys in events? What about all this other stuff? But we have to remember, I think these are the video guidelines, right? So I think art or anything else in that sense might be okay. I don't know. There's a lot of, like, gray area when it comes to all that other stuff. So I'm interested to see how that shakes out.
One would assume that because there are no longer events as of right now, Capcom made it specifically in mind of people exclusively on YouTube streaming platforms, and very specifically TikTok, where there are a lot of people re-uploading certain content that would be considered impermissible by these guidelines, I should add. The other day, I was actually scrolling along the Capcom-specific tag, and I saw someone actually did do something that crossed quite a few of these guidelines. While under the Capcom flag, they had actually modded the game, and they were creating a video series of pornographic nature with these characters, and I'm pretty sure that that's the type of content that Capcom's trying to stop from happening here.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Steve, you know what? That's just horrible. That's just I'm installing TikTok right now to report that account. Okay, Steve. We see you.
Which account should I avoid for this? I don't. No.
All right, let's skip that one. All right. Now there's a couple other things too that they go into as far as like what they mean by content and what falls into this, and there is something here that is listed that I think might be more relevant to what we're doing, maybe, depending on the context, right? Again, they said a lot of this stuff is case-by-case basis. But they do say, you should not share game footage online without adding your own video or content unless the game console or device permits sharing of game footage. Matches, right? Now, with a PlayStation or an Xbox, you are allowed to stream and record those matches and then post them without adding any commentary. So I believe those are safe. Don't know for sure. And it also says you may not split our game content into components, visual, vocal, in-game elements, etc., and distribute such components as separate content. So what
soundtracks,
that
like I said.
Yeah, what that says to me is soundtracks, and I don't know if you remember the big Tekken snafu of Snake saying that was some good ass Tekken at Evo a couple of years ago. I think that's also kind of covering their asses on that. Right, in case somebody wants to add, like, you know, a Capcom character saying something at a specific event to promote something else.
A lot of guidelines covering a lot of bases right now, I think, is what we're seeing here. And not all of it is things that they're directly saving it from, but they're definitely things that if these rules were in place, we would have seen a much different landscape earlier in events, I believe.
Yeah, and then... Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, we've got a couple more Capcom-related things to go, and Ultra Gen is actually on this week.
Okay, so. I do want to cover one more thing, because this is the important one, because we've all been struggling with this as far as our world here on Twitch, and content guidelines and DMCA takedowns, and it's Capcom music. And it says, please note that some game soundtracks or songs may not be owned by Capcom, but instead are licensed from an artist or another group. As this varies from game to game, please be aware that music may trigger content flags and potential removal of video. Game soundtracks may not be posted or distributed separately and apart from game footage. So there you go. Basically, it's like if you load up Vanilla Street Fighter 4 and you have everybody listen to Invincible, you're screwed. You're going to get dinged. That happened to me when I managed somebody's YouTube, and it sucked. Flo Rida got me. I owe them money. But anyway, so if you go to capcom.com/video-policy, you can read up on all these new video policies that they put out. And yeah, I think that's all I needed to add, and that's all I wanted to cover from all these, because these are a couple of the things that are things to watch out for in the future as the world changes and we change around with it. So, what did you want to talk about next, Steve?
Well, two things. Let's do sad news. Capcom updated the impact of the recent ransomware attack. As mentioned before, Capcom got hit with ransomware by a hacking group. Got a hold of some data and said that we will release it as long as you pay us $11 million in Bitcoin. They have not done so. So Capcom has continually disclosed, as they have discovered, exactly what was taken, what has been leaked. And that did include, as we mentioned earlier in previous games, plans for future Capcom games, including Street Fighter VI, sorry about that, as well as personal data for several hundred thousand people, potentially. In a update that came this week, Capcom confirmed that over 16,000 people's personal information has been leaked, including business partners, former employees, current employees as well. This includes names, email addresses, phone numbers, HR information as well. They also said that the total number of impacted people could be potentially up to 390,000 people. But in the recent update, they did clarify that some people who were previously included in the potential victim column were people who shopped at the Capcom store, or people who were members of the Capcom store, the North American Capcom store to be specific, as well as Capcom esports operations, players and associated parties. Turns out they have concluded that those specific branches have not had their information breached.
Yeah, and so, that totals up to around 18,000 people. So
yes.
Some good news.
Basically, what they're saying here is that everyone else did have their information leaked.
Yep.
Gosh. Sad times. That was literally the worst case scenario that I'd been talking about a couple of months earlier, too. That's very unfortunate. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough time for Capcom in the upcoming days and weeks and months to see what's going to come out of all this still. It's rough. It's rough out here for Capcom. All right.
It gives a lot of context to the whole thing we were talking about before about them banning a lot of use in general, because their mm-hmm. litigation firms yep. are going to be busy.
Yep. All right. Let's move on from the sad news. Let's talk about one more thing, two more things, and we're going to try to do that in 3 minutes. Go! More costumes coming to Street Fighter V via the avenue of Fexel, and we have the new and improved costume of their choosing that will be this character right here.
Great vamping, Aaron. Hey. Great vamping.
What do we think about Garuda?
It looks good. I like the look of it. Again, it's nice to see this continued partnership between Capcom and Arika on this. It wouldn't necessarily be the costume I would go for, but I'm going to grab.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's do a quick block grab. It fits Akuma very well. Like, I'm surprised. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
So I'm grabbing. How about you, Sharpie? What do you think?
Neo, what I see here is two classic decisions, block or grab. Given these two choices, which one would you take? Most people would grab and take that opportunity to throw their money away at yet another recolor of a terrible, disgusting grappler. Not I. I'm going to go ahead and block that. Save my money for a rainy day. Destroy the system.
You're the chosen
one, Neo.
It's actually through extra battle. So.
Yeah, so you just have to spend a little fight money. And it starts today. So if you're unlike Sharpius.
Sorry, I couldn't keep up this character. That was good, though, right?
Unlike Sharpius, and you would like to see Garuda in Street Fighter V via Akuma, hit up that battle, extra battle, and you too can earn more costumes. Second to last piece of content that we want to talk about is we have the timeline for Frosty Faustings, which is happening next week. Not this week, but next week.
Hey, and Skullgirls is going to be there. I got clarification earlier this week. They are actually, Skullgirls is going to be at the tournament. $500 literal pot bonus. Go ahead and sign up. It's a 256 character or player cap. So
yeah,
Skullgirls is at Frosty this year.
Yeah, so here's here is the timeline for how things are going to go. They don't have the streams yet all picked out, I believe. But each game will finish in a single day. This is straight off of Smash.gg. Friday, the 29th, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, capped at 128 players, played over Parsec. And then Them's Fightin' Herds, also capped at 128 players, played via Steam. Saturday, the 30th, Guilty Gear Plus R, I'm not going to read out the entire name, capped at 256 players, played on Steam via the shiny new netcode that was released late last year. Tekken 7. I almost just drowned in air. Tekken 7, capped at 128 players, played on Steam, which is interesting.
Yeah. All the other games are capped at 128.
Yeah, but it's interesting that Tekken is being played on Steam and not PlayStation 4, because usually the tournament standard is PlayStation 4.
It's easier to manage. The online is a lot easier to manage. It's easier to create rooms on Steam for Tekken specifically.
Oh, it looked like Steve, you were going to say something. Sorry. Let me keep reading these off as fast as I possibly can. Street Fighter Third Strike, 128 players played on Fightcade 2. So if you're going to go play on Fightcade 2. Fantasy Strike, capped at 128, is crossplay, so you can play on Steam, PS4, or Switch. Whoa! Future. Sunday. Alpha 2, played on Fightcade 2, at 128 players, is being capped. Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate is played on PS4. Also, I believe PS5 falls into that as well. Capped at 128 players. Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. Every time I see this game, I want to play it, and then I always forget about it. So maybe one of these days, I'm going to do it. Capped at 128 players is crossplay. I did not know this. It's going to be played on Steam, PS4, Switch, or Xbox One. Anybody can enter. Skullgirls, second encore. Says capped at 128 players. I think you said 256. I could be wrong about
that.
It
is 256. I believe it's not been updated yet.
Okay. It's going to be played on Steam. Tatsunoko versus Capcom, hosted by Tatsunoko versus Steve, move your thing out of there.
Corona.
Okay, thank you. It's capped at 128 players and is played on Dolphin. So everybody Dolphin up. And last but not least, Windjammers, capped at 128 players, played on Fightcade 2. And on top of all that, we have special exhibitions happening on Friday, the 29th, for Guilty Gear, Exard Rev 2, Grand Blue, Cross Tag, Under Night and Birth, Uniclear, and Soul Calibur 6. So there you go. That's all the crazy things that are happening in Frosty Faustings. As we know so far, the tournament is next week. I'm super excited about it. Can't wait to see some fun tournament things happening again. Whew, I read a lot. Last but not least, Steve, I think you had something you wanted to share with everybody.
So, yes, I'm going to throw a link in the chat to a stream that took place this past weekend. The Cooperation Cup did not take place this year, the traditional Street Fighter Third Strike event. But
it looks like this.
Matsuda, who
You too bad. No.
No. But Matsuda, who owns Game Newton arcade that hosts the event, at great cost to him, put together the series of 10v10 or first to 10 matches. There was an eight match card that took place. It was really, really entertaining to watch the little bit I did get to see. But Third Strike is one of It's not a game. I just want to give some love to Matsuda for this, because Cooperation Cup is one of these events that just expands beyond its own community. It's really one of the highlights of the entire FGC, not just Third Strike fans. And it is an absolute work of passion to put that together, especially this year when they had to take some big losses in terms of not being able to host it, even though they had to get the payout for the venue still. But he still put something together for the community, despite all of that. So Matsuda, you and your entire team who have worked on Cooperation Cup over the years, you are the bestie of the week. Thank you.
And that Urian finish was hype as heck. Bro.
I know. Why did that?
That's super. All. I watched that. I was like, ooh. I had to mute myself because I was gonna say something. I was like, ooh. What's the? Ooh, okay. We's playing spicy. We playing Street Fighter, honey.
Why did that?
That was a real fighting game moment, bro.
Yeah, the roundhouse hitting the super. Ooh, all right. Now, before we go any further, I do want to say shout out to Freeman0032 for giving us some bits. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And shout outs to Blue, who we lost, who we didn't say anything earlier. He subscribed for 27 months, quite a bit of time, and he states hashtag PlaySkullGirls. Go to PlaySkullGirls.SharpiePLS.com and PlayTFH. Go to PlayTFH.SharpiePLS.com to also pick up the game because it's literally 40% off right now on the Steam sale.
That means, Blue, your Twitch baby is named Shanty.
There you go. Congratulations on your new Twitch baby. And with all this said, ladies and gents, I do believe we have reached the end of yet another episode of Best of Five. We've covered a lot today. We've gone through lots of ups and downs, but we all survive, and we are surviving. So without further ado, let us sign off, unless anybody have any final words before I do the sign-off thing.
Red Bull, sponsor me. My email address is sharpie@sharpiepls.com. Sponsor me, Red Bull.
Or you can email bestofvshow@gmail.com.
You can also follow us, instagram.com/bestofvshow.
Yes, we got new Instagram stuff. We're working on TikTok stuff. We're going to be putting out more content for things. And look out for those in the future. We're going to have more details on that soon. Now, without further ado, let's sign off. I have been Elon. This is my information right here. You can follow me on Twitter. This has been the main squeeze, the Steve Ace King offsuit. Jurek.
Boom. Tetris for Jonas. We miss you, buddy.
Tetris for Jonas. I have rest in peace. And the lovely and amazing purple Sharpie right down here.
All real podcasters have a sign-off phrase.
Go, Steve. Do it.
Good night, Canada.